Our scripture reading for this morning is 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again.
And that's why we're here today, to honor and praise our Savior and our Redeemer. He has done everything possible for us that we may be His for eternity. And I just pray today that that is our goal, that we have come together here as brothers and sisters in Christ to worship our God. You know, and it takes there, what does it take to believe, to have faith? To be void of self-centeredness so that we can have devotion to our God. You know, what does it take for God to slam the door of heaven on professed children of His? Because, and refuse to hear their prayers and their forgiveness. And it will happen with some. There's many out there that believe today that the world idea about Jesus Christ is that He does nothing for us until we first do something ourselves, that we have to pay the price. But what price do we have to pay? Let's have an opening prayer. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, enlighten us with Your presence, with Your word and Your power. Grant us the privilege of setting in high places with our Lord Jesus Christ. Bring Him into our hearts, Father, so that we may live with Him forever and ever. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, the best news that we have, we know that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He's coming soon, that we need to be ready. He's done everything in His power for us to be ready, and we have to be accepted. We have to be willing to do what He has asked us to do. But Jesus clearly taught that salvation is by faith alone. And that's it. Faith alone. The beautiful things that God loves, that we can also love ourselves. And we can learn to appreciate them. We have nature, even though it is marred by disease and sin. But to still be going out into the woods or in the countryside and to see what God has created. Especially here in the East, we see all these green mountains here, you know. But you go out in California and Arizona and other places, Texas, where the fires are just burning them up, where there's none. And yes, eventually they will grow again. And some people say that they need that to regrowth and everything else, and that it does happen that way. But here, to be able to see these greenery that we still have here year-round, you know, and other things that we can appreciate because of God. But the best appreciation that we can have for God is His Son, our Savior and our Redeemer. And we can have that thrill of God's creation. But what about the message of salvation? What a thrill that should give us. We should be thrilled this morning for that plan of salvation, that we can be a part of it. We know that eventually we will be with Jesus. We will be able to see Him face to face, talk with Him, and on a Sabbath day to come to the throne of God and to worship at His feet. Oh, the pleasures that we're going to have, and I just pray that each one of us are there to be able to enjoy all of that. And isn't making sure of our salvation a business-like process, like taking out life insurance policy? We know that the true gospel is fantastically beautiful. It's a message that should grip the human heart. And then we can have it a lasting part of our lives. But it's even more than any human love can do as we look at the majesty of God and what He has done for us. All that He has prepared for us. And especially in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have a heart response that's never dying in our lives because of Jesus and his devotion for us and what he has done for us. To realize that there is only one requisite to salvation, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. But God so loved the world, we all know it, so let's say it together. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And according to that part, all we have to do is believe. But then we know that we have to have reaction to the action. So we need to be able to respond to that, believing that God so loved the world. You know, and we do that just to believe and know that it can be sure for us. So salvation is by faith. And Christ has added nothing to it, so that is it. Salvation by faith alone. It's a kind of faith that works, in which it should produce obedience to all the commandments of God. And yes, we can keep the commandments of God. There's none to be left out. And we know if we sin against one, we sin against them all. You know? And it should make us as believers be zealous for good works to that. But to know that God already has done the loving. He's already done the loving. To believe means many things to a lot of people. It means to appreciate the immeasurable love, to stand in awe of it, and to let your human heart be moved out of place so that you don't forget yourself, or you do forget your human desires and your petty ambitions that you have. Let that love overtake you. Motivate you to devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Righteousness, we know, is not by works and faith, but it is by a faith that works. But when we look at that, we have a problem. How can we learn to love and to appreciate that love that's so powerful, that's supplied by God, and yes, faith comes from God, so that it can begin to work in us? As we looked at the lesson for this morning, sanctuary and worship, where are you in your worship? Where are you in your life stand? Is your first love God? Or do you still have your first love? What level are you? Have you raised to another level? Or are you on the same level that you was on years ago? I pray that we have reached a new level in worshiping and honor and praising God. We know that the cross in reality solves a problem that all the psychiatrists and counselors in the world are powerless to solve, and that's deep self-centeredness. And we know that that's where it gets us into trouble. Self-centeredness. I have been crucified with Christ, Paul says in Galatians 2:20. Paul was able to see a dynamic power in the cross that most of us have never seen. And maybe we will never see it, but we can't help to remain self-centered and lukewarm in our devotions if we can't see it. But what's so special about Jesus dying for us? Is it that his death satisfied the legal demands of the law? The real justice in the cross is that when he humbled himself, even to the death of the cross, is as Paul says, he suffered the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Because it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Paul was quoting the great Moses when he said, Moses had said that any criminal sentenced to die on a tree is automatically cursed of God. That is, that God slammed the door on that person and refused to hear his prayers for forgiveness. And I just pray that that doesn't happen to us. This I didn't know until I read it here in Florida, but a crucifixion was a gala event to watch like a circus. The victim was regarded as God's write-off, to be tormented as everyone's sadistic urges might dictate to them. If the spectator was considered godly, this meant that you must agree with God's judgment against the victim, and you had to curse him too. And as Christ hung on the cross, this is how the people viewed him, as cursed. And it was there to revile him. Christ felt that curse, and it killed him. And the Bible speaks of two kinds of deaths. And we just need to make sure that we know the kind of death that Christ paid. The Bible calls death sleep, but the real thing is called the second death in Revelation 2:11. It is a death in which the sufferer sees not a ray of hope because he feels the horror of utter despair, the unspeakable pain of divine condemnation beyond which the sufferer can expect no vindication, no resurrection, or no light. It is a death wherein one feels the full weight of sin's guilt, self-condemnation burning in every cell of one's being. I pray that each one of us never feels that. In all of Earth's history, there's not one human soul as yet has died that second death or suffered the full consequence of that complete God forgiveness. Christ has felt that complete God forgiveness on the cross. He was made a curse for us. He experienced our feelings of depression and despair. But we know that no one physically or spiritually is capable of feeling the full weight of that guilt of sin or sensing. Amen. We need to appreciate as God's children the dimension of the love revealed at the cross. We know that the cross is the center of our attention. We lift it up every day. We know that we don't have a cross showing in here, everything, but the cross is still the center. One of the 10 steps to have a mega church is to take the cross out of the church. Another step is not to talk about sin. And there's other steps. The churches out there, Christian, so-called churches, to be able to have mega churches. But we need to be able to fill the dimensions of the love there, that fill, to be filled with all the fullness of God. And that's what Satan doesn't want us to feel. To feel that fullness of God. He does everything he can to cloud our understanding of that, of the ways that may accomplish that. And one of the ways that he uses to do that is by the doctrine of natural immortality of the soul. We know that the idea comes from paganism and was adopted by apostate Christianity. And we know that all pagan religions are self-centered in their appeal. And almost all the Christian churches have accepted the pagan papal doctrine of immortality of the soul, that natural immortality. We know that people's minds are blinded. And as long as they're blinded, they cannot understand the dimensions of the love revealed at the cross. And it was there that it was revealed. God's children need to be able to discover what Paul and the apostles were able to see. Does Jesus hold anything back until the sinner decides to accept, as some people believe? They believe that. But the scripture tells us, one, Christ tasted death for every person. Two, as all have sinned, so all are justified freely by his grace. And also by virtue of Christ's sacrifice, God imputed our trespasses to Christ. No lost person can suffer the second death until after the final judgment. And that can only come after the second resurrection Our very life is purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price. The ransom has been paid, and we didn't have to pay it. God paid it all by allowing His Son to come here. The whole world has been redeemed, whether they know it or even whether they like it. But not all will be saved as we know. And the reason for that is that they've actually resisted and rejected the salvation already freely given them in Jesus Christ. We have that freedom. We have salvation freely given to us. All we have to do is accept it. God has taken the initiative to save all men. He wants none left out. But we as humans have the power, the freedom of will, to thwart and veto whatever Christ has already done for us. He's actually placed it in our hands. All we have to do is accept it. He reaches out for us. Place it in our hands. And many refuse to accept it. We know that the only sin which any can be lost for is that of not appreciating receiving His grace. Let's turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. That was read this morning. We'll read it again. Chapter 3, 17 through 19. For God sent His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And we know that all man's deeds are evil, if we're not connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. The unbelieving sinner enjoys life because of God's sacrifice and Christ's sacrifice on Calvary's cross. The Lamb of God, the foundation of the world, has brought life to light through the world and through the gospel. Even the wicked draw their next breath because of Jesus. Also, we can look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. There are several interpretations out there that say that Paul did not quite get it right when he talked about the free gift in all men. But I'm only going to give you the correct one this morning. The correct view accepts that Christ, as the last Adam, has reversed all the evil that the first Adam did. And as surely as all men are condemned by Adam's sin, so surely all men are legally justified by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. He's already tasted death for every person. He is a propitiation for the sins of the whole world. And they know it not. So I said, no one can draw their next breath unless his sins have already been imputed, and could not if it had not already been imputed under Jesus Christ. No one, saint or sinner, can bear the guilt of his own sin, even for a moment, or we would not be able to live. Our salvation does not depend on our initiative for looking for God It depends on our believing that God has taken the initiative in saving us, and He has. He's done it first. The Bible teaches us that it is not our job to initiate a relationship with Christ, for He has initiated the relationship with us. Our job is to believe it, to cherish it, and appreciate it. And I pray that's what we're doing this morning as we're here worshiping God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Cherishing and appreciating what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. The good shepherd keeps looking for his sheep until he finds it. He wants to save us even more than we want to be saved ourselves. He doesn't get tired or discouraged because of our unbelief. He's there for us all the step, every step of the way. Our salvation depends on whether we love Him so much that we will allow Him to maintain that relationship unless we give it away. We can chase the Holy Spirit away. We can chase Jesus Christ away. But we need to put the gospel into simple terms. Salvation depends on faith. There's no other way to reach salvation. To know that God has found you by the word of faith. You see that in Isaiah chapter 55, if we turn to that. Isaiah 55. It's a familiar verse to all of us. Verse 6. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. We know that the Hebrew word translated seek doesn't probably mean to seek, but to pay attention to or inquire of. But while He is near, His nearness, not His farness, we need to be seeking. And our seeking is represented as a heart response to His initiative in seeking us. Does the gospel have good news for us? Yes, it does. The Lord Jesus Christ, Savior and Redeemer of the world, and He's coming soon for all of us. We're one day closer to that day when Jesus will come all of His glory. Nothing secret. Every eye shall see Him. How that's going to be done, we don't know. The world rolled out as a scroll, or just that He's going to be all over where everybody can see Him or know where they are in the world. But He is coming soon. And the true gospel gives a beautiful and powerful reason for serving Christ. And we can find that as our scripture reading in chapter 2 of, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judged that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all, that they might which live shall not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ died for us on Calvary's cross. He was raised on a third day to show us that He is alive forevermore, and that we can sit with Him in high places one day soon. So we just pray that it happen. Justification by faith gives us peace with God as we had never sinned. And one day to be able to feel that as we stand before God our Maker, as we had never sinned. Justification also shows us that no one else has ever sinned against us. It enables us to forgive others because we sense their guilt as guilt of our own. Our faith, our justification, our sanctification, ministered by the high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities and our weaknesses, He is so infinite that he is able to give each one of us his full attention. To feel like you are the only patient he has. What a feeling that we can have. To feel like we are the only patient that he has. Thank you. Our gracious Heavenly Father, once again, thank thee for thy Son, our Savior and our Redeemer, shed his blood on Calvary's cross so that we might live. Oh, to have our sins covered, to have the robe of righteousness, that white raiment upon our shoulders, Father, so that we may be your children forever and ever. And I just pray that we go from this place alive evermore, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us along the pathway that leads to the eternal kingdom that one day soon we will be with our Savior. We ask for all of these saints in the precious name of our Savior and our Redeemer. Amen.